Welcome to Twat Radio for Wednesday, May the 3rd, 2006. This is Kynan with a short and sweet Windows from the Command Line. Today, I'm going to talk about some of the command line tools that I schlep around on my USB key. The majority of these are actually tools that originated on Unix-based OSs and have been ported across somehow. In fact, I've actually got mostly the same set of basic utilities, but split into two categories: those that are compiled natively for Windows, and those that rely on an emulation layer. Those in the former camp, the tools compiled to run native on Windows, come from the GNU Utilities for Win32 page at http://unxutils.sourceforge.net. The tiny URL is http://tinyurl.com/5alpha8romeo-foxtrot. These tools are guaranteed to run as long as they can find the file msvcrt.dll somewhere on the system. It should be in the %systemroot%/system32 directory. This file is the Microsoft Visual C Runtime DLL, and I'm pretty sure it actually ships as part of the base OS, so it's pretty likely to be around. The second set of tools, the ones that run on an emulation layer, are the famous Cygwin tools, which you can find at http://cygwin.com, which is Charlie Yankee Golf Whiskey India November.com. Let's look at Cygwin first. I'm pretty sure that someone, I think Iron Geek in Twat64, has talked about Cygwin before, so I'm going to go over this pretty quickly, and I'm not going to cover Cygwin installation or anything. Cygwin provides a port of common and some not so common GNU and other open source utilities and applications from Linux over to Windows. Basically, a whole lot of functionality is built into DLL called Cygwin1.dll that emulates the normal Linux APIs. This means that you can compile your Linux applications on Windows with the ported GCC compiler, and it will make use of this DLL instead of making the normal system calls, and you'll have whatever you want from the Linux and Unix world running on Windows. Great news, yeah? Well, mostly. This is okay when you're just installing Cygwin on your desktop, but if you want to take a subset of the tools out of the box, then you've got to do a little work. The problem with the Cygwin tools is that the emulation layer works via the main Cygwin DLL, Cygwin1.dll. So straight away, you need at least one extra DLL to make your utility work, and it's quite possible that a few others will be needed, depending on the utility in question, and this can lead to the main portability issue, the number of files, and the file sizes involved. Let's look at Gawk as an example. The Gawk executable is only 278k by itself. Awesome if that's all you need, but like I said, there's a bigger picture. One of the non-command line pieces of software that lives on my USB key is a very nice tool called Dependency Walker, which you can find at http://www.dependencywalker.com or http://tinyurl.com/3sierra4romeo-foxtrot. This will show you all of the DLLs that an executable or even another DLL requires in order to run. If we seek Dependency Walker onto Gawk, we'll find that we need cygwin1.dll, which is another 1.2 meg, sigintl-3.dll, which is 55k, and sigiconv-2.dll, which is another meg. So, for a 250k tool, we need to cart around an extra 2.5 meg of DLLs. That's the reason I originally carried around the UNX Utils tools, only one dependency that you could always be sure would be available. And it's only about 290k anyway. These days, with so much portable storage space available, it's not so much of an issue. When I first started using these tools, I had them on a floppy, and 2.5 meg of overhead was not really an option. I carry around the following Cygwin utilities on my USB key. If you've installed Cygwin, then you'll find all of these in the bin directory under the root of wherever you installed it. cdrive/cygwin by default. ASCII, cat, curl, cut, echo, gawk, grep, head, links, less, od, sed, sort, tail, tr, unique, wget, and whois. Most of these came from the core utils package, with the exception of ASCII, which came from the SIG utils. Curl, grep, links, less, sed, wget, and whois all also have their own separate packages. Using Dependency Walker, I worked out that I needed 7 other DLLs to back up the executables for all of these. sigcurl-2, sigiconv-2, sigintl-3, sigpcre-0, sigssl-0.9.7, sigwin1, and sigz. Collect all of that, and not only have you got a very handy little text manipulating mini programming toolkit, but there's a text-based browser and a couple of web-based troubleshooting utilities in only 5.5 meg. The UNX Utils toolset mostly duplicates all of the Cygwin utilities I mentioned here, but because they've been gathered from all over the place, the command lines are not necessarily the GNU command lines that you're used to. Also, the tools haven't been updated for a long time now. The last update posted on the page is the 30th of April 2004. Given all of this, why would you use the UNX Utils instead of the Cygwin ones? To be honest, mostly I don't, but there are a couple of handy tools in there that aren't part of the Cygwin set. Pclip and gclip, for instance, are command line tools to place text on the Windows clipboard and print the Windows clipboard to standard output, respectively. Also, because of all of these tools are native to Windows, they're not expecting Unix-style path names. Generally, the Cygwin tools are pretty good at dealing with either Windows or Unix-style path names, but sometimes they can get confused. For instance, the output of the Cygwin version of which, when I run which space find, for instance, returns /sigdrive/c/winnt/system32/find, whereas the UNX utils version returns c:\winnt/system32/find.exe. Horses for courses, really. Since both of these collections together don't even push 10 meg, I keep them both, and if one doesn't quite fit, I'll use the other. The other really handy set of CLI tools that I keep on my key are some of the monitoring and investigative tools from sysinternals. These can be found at http://www.sysinternals.com or http, I think I'm saying too many T's, tinyurl.com/hotel-oscar-75. These are written by Mark Rasinovich and Bryce Cogswell. These guys have a phenomenal grasp of how the Windows operating system works at a really low level. Check out Microsoft Windows Internals 4th edition if you want some really good info on how Windows works under the purdy GUI covers. In the unlikely event that you've not heard of these guys, then I highly recommend heading over to the site and downloading all the free tools, checking out what you can do with them. Anyway, following the standard Unix mantra, the sysinternals tools tend to be very small and very specialized. I actually have a mirror of the sysinternals utilities page on my key because everything on that site is useful. The tools I keep extracted and ready to go are all part of the PS Tools suite. PS Tools is currently at version 2.33 and you can find it at http://tinyurl.com/alpha-oscar-oscar-romeo-6. The PS Tools suite contains 13 tools at the moment and I'm going to mention the 5 that I use a lot. First up is PSExec. PSExec allows you to execute processes on a remote machine, basically by installing itself as a service and then connecting itself to that service, piping your input for the duration of the connection. I use this all the time at work because it effectively gives you a remote console, but without having to jump through all the GUI hoops of the terminal services client. If you've got an admin account, then the command line becomes as simple as PSExec space /\ remote host space cmd.exe. If all goes well, then you'll be presented with a command prompt on the remote machine. Note that you can't use Ctrl-C whilst PSExec is running, because that is just going to bust out of PSExec. And don't try to kick off anything that brings up its own GUI, like Edit for instance. This is only one of the many things that PSExec can do, and is well worth reading the manual to find out everything else. Next up, PSKill. This functions in a very similar way to the resource kit utility kill. Basically, you supply a PID or a process name, and PSKill will kill it. The advantage that PSKill has over kill is that, like PSExec, It can be run on a remote server as well, very handy for offing recalcitrant services. Sometimes, if you can't kill a process via Task Manager, I sometimes get weird access denied messages, then PSKill generally does the trick. PSList is a command line version of the Windows Task Manager, but better. Again, like all of the PS utilities, it can run on a remote machine, which is always a bonus. What it does normally is display all of the running processes on the local machine. With the -T switch, it provides that same list, but in a tree format, so you can track down which process started other processes really easily. It can also run in Task Manager mode, refreshing every X seconds. You can specify how quick X is. It supplies pretty much all the same information as Task Manager, but on the command line, with the exception that it doesn't show the username who owns the process. It can also display memory usage as well as the standard CPU usage stats. PSLoglist is a command line window into the event log. PSLoglist has copious filtering options and an awesome tail functionality that puts it over the line as the tool of choice for command line event log watching. PSInfo, a cut-down version of SystemInfo, is handy for checking out exactly what the basic specs of either a local or remote machine are. It can report things like uptime, kernel version, service pack, owner information and install date, activation status, IE version, CPU speed and type, amount of memory and disk space, and the video driver. This can all be presented in both a human-readable and CSV format, which is useful if you want to collect specs on a whole lot of machines via a script or something. PS Shutdown does what it says. Allows you to log off, reboot, or shut down the computer, local or remote, from the command line. It's worth noting that a lot of these utilities I mentioned that have remote capabilities make use of the admin dollar and IPC dollar shares to work their magic. If you're running hardened boxes, or you've got firewalls between you and the remote boxes, then it's unlikely that you'll be able to make use of this functionality without copying the executables over to the remote machine. Finally, there's TCPVCon. TCPVCon will identify the process that is listening on a particular port for both UDP and TCP connections. This is actually the same functionality that's provided by netstat-n, but since netstat didn't get its -n option until Windows XP, TCPVCon comes in very handy on Windows 2000 whilst tracking down processes listening on suspect network ports. These are the most common sysinternals tools that I use, but if you're a Windows user, I can't recommend enough that you spend some time investigating the other tools that are available on the sysinternals website. You're bound to find something you could have used to fix a problem you had. The last CLI tool I want to mention is TCPDump. TCPDump is the networking tool you wheel out when you really need to know what's going on at a pretty low level. It was born on Unix, but it has been ported over to Windows, and once again, there are two main implementations. WinDump, which is the open source and freely available version at http://www.winpcap.org. That's Whiskey India November Papa Charlie Alpha Papa. The other version is TCPDump from a company called MicroOLAP and has to be paid for commercial use. You can find TCPDump at http://tinyurl.com/OscarLima3Foxtrot9. It's a free and fully functional download that remains free for personal use, but there's a $60 registration fee for commercial use. So why have I picked a closed-source semi-commercial tool? Well, WinDump is nice, but in order for it to work, you have to first install the WinPCAP driver, which is a pain in the butt if you just want to use it once to troubleshoot a problem, especially if you can't or don't want to reboot the box you're working on. TCPDump from MicroOLAP is a 300k file that requires no other files. It just works, which makes it well worth it for a portable toolkit that you use on a personal level. That's all I've got for today. I hope you picked up something handy. My name's Conan, and you've been listening to another episode of Today with a Tech Radio, on the web at twatech.org. Remember that TWAT is a community-run project. If you've got some information to share, then why not record an episode and send it in? We always need more episodes. Thanks again to everyone working behind the scenes to keep TWAT up and running, and a special thanks to Audacity for not crashing whilst I recorded this episode. Thanks for listening.